We may study this throughout the day and may try to understand it. Maybe this will give us a visual, I guess, is kind of help me whenever I broke it down. And I'd love to be able to go through a study and be able to break down each day as to what all happened during those days, because there's a lot that happens there that maybe we're not fully understanding. But all of this, everything that we've studied, everything that we've talked about, all hinges on a verse in Matthew. So if you would, go to Matthew 12, and we're going to start at the 38th verse, and we'll read through the 40th. It said, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So this all goes back to our conversations and our trying to understand the starting of Passover, and the Lord is our Passover. We recognize that. But if we're going to take this verse to be true, and Jesus said that this is the only sign we're going to get, and he refers to Jonas being a prophet there to say that he's going to be in the ground 3 days and three nights. So therefore, a Good Friday is, as Brother Barry said, for some, that's just a good payday is what Friday is. So if we look at this little sketch here, what we're trying to show there is the resurrection. And we'll try to understand in just a bit that when Mary goes on the first day of the week, and I believe all Gospels account for that, when she goes on the first day of the week, she doesn't find him, does she? He's already risen. But keep in mind it was that morning. Also keeping in mind that night is before the day. That's how God created it back in Genesis 1. So that's why we're showing under the Sunday column, you'll see night listed first, then day, then Monday, night, then day. So if you go to that Wednesday on the 14th that we discussed in Exodus 12, it says on the 14th that was the Passover. So if you were to bring that 12 hours of daytime, 12 hours at night, 24 hours in each day, we recognize there's got to be 72 hours there to fulfill what Jonah had said in 3 days and three nights, that the Son of Man shall be in the ground. So that's where we wanted to start. And then if you want to go, Jonah, just to turn over there, we'll read that real quick. 1 and 17. And it said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." So there that is supported. Now, Matthew 26 and 17. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" So again, working backwards is how I'm trying to work into this, and you all feel free to weigh in, but the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep thee Passover at thy house with my disciples." So he's going to take the Passover. We believe that to be on the 14th. We get that from Exodus 12 in a couple of areas. Matter of fact, if you want to go back to our study from last week, Leviticus 23, chapter 5. "In the 14th day of the first month, that even is the Lord's Passover." So we recognize that has to be the 14th, is the Passover. So looking back at our little calendar up here, we're showing there on the 14th, recognizing that day to be the Passover. And then if you add the 72 hours up, then that's going to get us into that Sunday before Jesus arose. But we'll stick with Matthew. We're going to try to hit some of these points here. In back at 26 and 19, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." And then, of course, we know of there that being Judas that would betray him, and I don't necessarily want to get into all of that, but the goal is to kind of point out and try to understand that the Lord took his Passover there with his disciples, and we may go ahead and go into that area in Matthew. If we go into, we read 18 there, didn't we? 19 and 21 there, it said that they did eat, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." So, and I remember Brother Marty's study here several years ago. We were doing a Wednesday night, and I remember he'd brought out that point that they had met together for the Passover there, but that their intent wasn't to take what we call the Lord's Supper. They were meeting there for the Passover, and the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, didn't he? So if you get past the portion there where it's talking about Judas and whatnot, go to the 26th verse, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So all of that we had just recently done, performed that ordinance, and we've tried in our very best ability to follow that. Keeping of the unleavened bread, which is instituted there of the Passover, even down to the point where we walk out the doors and sing that hymn. And this is, as Brother Jeff says, each time, this is why this is done. So and it says that he's gone out into the Mount of Olives. So this day has just begun, the way that I see it. And I know there's a lot of things I don't have answers for, I'll be honest with you. And like I said, boy, and Josh brought up a couple of things last night, and I'm like, golly, I thought I had this. So I've really been changed the approach this morning just from, and I'm not pointing a finger at you, brother, because one of these days I'm going to want to really have this understood. But it may not be on this side of eternity. But so many things trying to lay out and understand from the institution of the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And was the 14th merely a preparation day? Was the 15th? We recognize, I don't believe the 15th is the Passover, but how can they be doing certain things on the 14th if it's supposed to be a convocation day? And that's exactly what it says. So how are they able to do all of these works if it's a convocation day? Well, if you look at the 15th, if it's supposed to be a convocation day, then how are they able to do the Passover there before? How is that not the Passover? So I've got more questions than I've got answers. So honestly, I'm going to stay clear of some of those things this morning. Hopefully I do. But again, if you boil it all down to what the understanding is when was he raised? And we know that to be sometime before Mary and them got there that morning of the first day of the week, we know that he had raised. So that was sometime between 6 p.m. that evening and sometime before dawn. And I don't doubt what Brother Jeff had said. If it was exactly to the hour, if it was exactly 6 p.m. that night of the starting of the first day of the week, it would not surprise me. And the reason why, and I first had an issue with that a few years ago, thinking, well, if he had raised somewhere around 6 p.m., somebody would have seen that. Not really. Keeping in mind that the spring equinox and the summer equinox, or the fall equinox, our autumn, that's when the day is split evenly, first half of the day to the second half of the day. So very easily, at 6 p.m. at this time of the year, in our 6 p.m., this time of the year, it could have very well been dark that time of the year, right? And we also recognize that, as we'll read here in some of the scripture, I believe Jesus was gone before they ever rolled the stone back. So he ascended through this mountainous hewn, as we recognize this was hewn out through stone, I believe in the side of a mountain, not necessarily down in the ground, that he was already gone. They had put this stone in front of this sepulcher and they sealed it somehow or the other. They said it was sealed. Now, I don't know how that they necessarily, but by the time they rolled it back, he was already gone. So he ascended through this mountain is how I'm looking at it. He didn't make a big deal of it. Even the watchers there had no idea that it was already gone. And we'll try to read through some of these things, but y'all bear with me and please help me understand some of this. So we'll invite some of these things. Again, we talked about the 26th through the 29th there, that this is where he had instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And then in the 36th, we may pick up there, then Jesus came with them into a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And then he went and prayed three times that we can see in the 39th. Said that he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then on the 42nd, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then in the 44th, and he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So just going to back up, may have already said this, but this was the beginning of what would be Wednesday the 14th, starting at 6 p.m. is when all of this started. So they're going to stay up throughout the evening, throughout the early part of the night, which is the first part of the day, and Jesus is going to be up all night. That's why these men can't seem to stay awake, in my belief. This is happening all throughout the night. Now the 47th through the 49th is where Judas betrayed Jesus. And then picking up in the 27th chapter, it says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. This being the morning, the same day of the 14th. And it said, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. And all of that had happened there. And then that the elders didn't put the money back into the pot. They thought that that was blood money, so they went and bought some land with it. And and then I think that said they buried some. Who was it? They said, and bought the potter's field to bury strangers in, is what they ended up doing with that money, according to the 8th verse.
Hey, brother, can I ask a question up quick? What day was it on? Are you saying that he prayed in the garden? Would that have been?
I'm thinking that's of the exact same day. It's just of the, if the night come before the day, I'm seeing that to be of the same day. It was that night. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
27 and 1 then. In the morning comes, we're talking about 30.
I'm seeing that to be the same Wednesday.
That's Wednesday morning. Wednesday started at 6 p.m.
Yeah, okay.
So they prayed in the garden Tuesday, what we call Tuesday night.
It's hard to get that mindset that. backwards.
Well, and this little chart here that Josh made for me this morning, it may not be but more headache there to try to understand it, but in my mind, that's how I was able to wrap my head around it, by putting the night in the left column and the day in the right column. And at the ending of that, then it would start Thursday, would start of the night. And that's the reason why I put in the tomb there on the lower portion of the day of Wednesday, because I'm saying starting the Wednesday night, if we were to say 6 p.m. in our world, that's when all of this started taking place. He went in and he ate the Passover, and he then instituted the Lord's Supper. Then he went out singing hymns, and then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed three times. And then he went from there, and then he goes through all of these mock trials, whether it be civil or lawful. But all of that happens throughout a 24-hour period.
And all that actually began on what we today look at is Tuesday evening after 6 o'clock.
Right.
When it actually began. Because of Tuesday. Right.
After the... That would be the beginning of Wednesday, is the way I'm seeing that, right?
Yeah, our Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock.
That's the beginning of Wednesday on their calendar.
Yeah.
So it started on their calendar on Wednesday, but what we would call Tuesday night. Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. He prayed in the garden Tuesday night, what we call Tuesday night. And then Wednesday is the next morning. It's still Wednesday. Everybody's
We'll get to Sunday and then we're going to back up. How's that?
On this that Josh gave us,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday the 14th, on the 9th is our Tuesday. On the column that he says 9th, would that be our Tuesday? Is that what Jeff's saying?
Yeah, Wednesday started at 6 evening and the p.m. or Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. That's when Wednesday started.
Yeah.
Instead of way our calendar, our clock is, Wednesday starts at 12 a.m. on Tuesday night. Theirs, it started at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night. So that's where he went and prayed in the garden after 6 p.m. Tuesday night. Wednesday morning is the next day or the next morning, and that's the day that he ends up being crucified. And he's placed in the grave, I believe, right at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening. So you're right, bud. It's just,
I'm sorry to get you off track.
No.
Go back here and just get more about the top
thing. No. No, I find myself, if I get to talking Tuesday, it messes me up. So I'm better if I don't mention Tuesday, because I know that throws my 12 hours off. And that's why I'm trying to, before Wednesday at 6 p.m., and that 6 p.m. is our time, right?
Yes.
That before then, that's when he will be in the tomb before then. That last second of 5:59:59, he's already in there. Now, that could have happened anywhere between 3 p.m., because we know that's when he give up the ghost.
Yeah.
Is in the ninth hour of the day, it said. So that would have been 3 p.m. So somewhere between there, they got him off the cross. And then Joseph of Arimathea had to go and ask for the body. And we don't know how long that took, but we know that that happened. And then we know that they'd come and they'd wound him up and put him in fresh, clean linen. And somewhere in there, he got put in the tomb. So that could be as early as, I don't know, 4 o'clock? Somewhere between 4, but before 5:59:59 runs out. Somewhere in that 3-hour window, more than likely a couple-hour window, he is in that barred tomb, isn't he? And that's what...
If you really think about it, God does things so exact and so precise that we cannot even begin to comprehend all that. I mean, the way he mathematically... and timelines, everything. But I just want to say this. If I think that he had to be put in there at a precision, mm-hmm. at a very precise moment, because if he was put in there an hour earlier than that, then he'd have been in the tomb 3 days, three nights, and an hour.
You know
what I'm saying?
I do.
So I really think that whenever he has given up the ghost, like you said, at 3 o'clock, and that's very plain to see. Well, they had 3 hours from the time that he gave up the ghost to get him in the tomb. And I think he had to be in the tomb in completion at 6 o'clock or five.
Yep.
But so if you think about it, he's on Golgotha. He's hanging there. Nicodemus and them, Joseph comes to see him. They have to go all the way over to Pilate and beg his body. Pilate says, you know, something's wrong. Surely he's not dead yet. So Pilate sends the guards to go verify that he's dead. And the way they verified it, they stuck him with a, they stuck his side. They went back and verified to Pilate, yes, he's dead. So then he gives them permission to take him back. When they took him down, can you imagine that? That's something I never had thought about before. But when they had to take him down off that cross, the Son of God.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how gently they had to bend to take him, the spikes and all that? And then after they got him down, then they had to anoint him with
Amen.
And so there was just a 3-hour window from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock to get all that done and having to put in that tomb. And I really think when you get it all figured out, he was put in there at a very precise time at what we would say 6 o'clock. And then he would have rose at a very, very precise time. And that would have been an exact 72 hours. And even the earthquakes, the two earthquakes that took place, backed that up 100%.
Yeah.
And
amen.
I do think somehow, in God's way of doing it, it was very precise.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Hard to get it wrapped around
your head. And like I said, what I struggle with was that if it happened at that 6 p.m. for the longest, I'm thinking, well, that would have been right in the middle of the day. Everybody there would have seen that, you know. Because I'm thinking like summertime, 6 p.m. It stays light till 8:30, 9 o'clock or whatever, right? But in this time of the year when that would have happened, it would have been dark. But now, whether it had been broad daylight, I believe he could have came out and nobody would have known. That would have been, but just... Again, it's some things I struggle with, not necessarily biblical, but just...
They lost him right in the middle of the temple that time, didn't they?
Amen. Yep.
Had no clue, did it? They come right by.
Amen.
I tell you something that has helped me is that I think Jeff's will mention it a couple of different times is how they divided their days up into watches of 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll start looking at it, and we can't prove that everything happened in those 3-hour blocks, but if you look at, hey, maybe we ate the unleavened bread and it took the cup 6 to 9, we walked out in the garden 9 to 12, we prayed in that next watch, and then we're accosted, and then the watch after that about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., he's been taken back, he's being tried by the chief priest, and then about daybreak, 6-ish, we see him with Pilate being judged. It really helped me to, the 12-hour block was really making it hard for me. Then it dawned on me that we're 6 hours off, not 12. Not, well, can we take it one step farther than that? Maybe go to those watches.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you know, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. is clearly defined. 9 to 12 is clearly defined. 12 to 3. And then, like you, I think 6 p.m. right there on the dot. Anyway, I didn't mean to say all that.
No, that's good stuff. I'd love to break down those events all in that time frame or for the whole week, or you know, that'd be a.
When I first started studying on this, it really got on my nerves, and then Barry got in there, and then we got started talking back and forth, and he called me, and I'd be literally hang up the phone, literally shaking.
Mm-hmm. And
man, I just finally said, "Told you," I said, "He's just, I'm gonna let him take." Trying to get all this time frame is really, you ain't going to do it in a day or two.
Amen.
You ain't going to do it in a week or two.
Amen.
I ain't going to say that you're going to understand all of it in a year or two.
Man.
It takes dedication. I mean, it really does. And I just didn't have as much as Brother Barry did. But I know this, Brother. I'm glad to see you want to know. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, well, what difference does it make? I said, it makes all the difference.
Amen.
It's all the difference because he said that's the only sign you've been given.
Amen.
And if it didn't work like he said,
that's
it,
right.
Then he wasn't the son
Lord
of God.
Help.
And we know he was. And so it makes all the difference.
Amen.
And so I'm so glad to see you so dedicated. And I'm right behind you. I know we may be confusing you, but we're not trying.
No, no.
Trust me, when he was calling me, he had me call all the faces too. But listen, it's tough.
Amen.
But though if you give it time, you're going to understand. You may understand more about it, me and him, and 500 more for you. I don't doubt that a bit. Oh, you're smarter than me.
No, that ain't it. That ain't it. That.
Yeah, you just hang in.
In verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. And that was them tempting the Lord there, but they recalled his words, didn't they? They recalled that he said that he'd tear down the temple and then he'd have it raised back up in 3 days. And they thought he was referring to the actual temple when he was referring to himself there, wasn't he? Saying that he would raise it up after 3 days. So they were tempting him with that comment. And then 45 through 46. And this is, again, Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. This is to say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And that was there just after that ninth hour, as we was referring to. Don't know just exactly when that happened, but the last call-out time frame they'd give us was that ninth hour in the 46th, and just shortly after that's when he gave up the ghost, it said. And also reading that same outcome in Mark 15, although it had included the third hour of the days when he was put on the crucifixion. That's when that started. So we wanted to get that in there. So this being, looking back at our calendar, this being the evening of the Passover day, there that Wednesday the 14th, the latter portion, the last few hours of that 14th day, is when he was then gathered up and was put in the tomb. Going to verse 62 of Matthew 27, said, Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remembered that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. So that sounds like a long time, but I'm submitting that that's just within a few hours after he was there put in the tomb. So, because it said now the next day, doesn't it? So that would have been just mere hours, like what Brother Barry was saying. So he could have very well went just an hour or so later and then had mentioned that, hey, we want some guardsmen over there to watch this tomb. And it said 63, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said that while he was yet alive after 3 days, I'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now I have no idea how that they sealed that, but it specifically says they sealed it, doesn't it? And setting a watch. Now we're going to pick up in the 28th. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Now the ending of the Sabbath is, in fact, the Saturday that we're looking at here on our calendar. So you've had the 12 hours at night, you've got the 12 hours a day, and then now you're starting at 6 p.m. at the ending of the Sabbath. Now, Mary wouldn't have came there during the dark hours to have seen these things. She would have waited till daylight, and that's what I'm saying, that she would have been coming sometime early in the morning. If you were to split the day perfectly down the middle, it might have even been 5:15 to 5:30 a.m. in our world. But she's showing up in that first day of the week, come Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. That's what Brother Barry was talking about earlier. There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. I never caught that he went to Galilee. You realize how far that is from Jerusalem? That's 70 miles. Give or take a few. But it's right along 70 miles away, according to Matthew's account. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. So Jesus has said it again. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. So they wanted these men to take this money as a bribe and to say these things had happened when they didn't. And this came to the governor's ear, We will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And I still believe a lot of that's been told that way from certain Jews. They don't recognize that Jesus was the Messiah, and they'll still tell you that it wasn't him, and he wasn't the Messiah. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And Brother Jeff has taught and preached out of this and recently. Brother Jeff, I may have to put you on the spot here. I've kind of lost my place here. But you was preaching on how Peter had came, and he was out there on the boat when the Lord came. Yeah, John 21. Yeah, I'm sorry. In chapter 21 and 1, it says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two other his disciples. And this is where Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, understand, this Sea of Tiberias is where? It's on the coastal sea of Galilee. So when we read and understanding when Peter says here that I go a fishing, he's doing just exactly, honestly, what the Lord had told him to do. The Lord had told them to go and see me in Galilee. They had went to Galilee, and he was passing time, waiting for the Lord to show up. So he went fishing till he got there. I really enjoyed that this morning. That's how. I appreciate y'all helping us out with this study, and we'll continue studying on it together. we'll stop a little early and say hi to our visitors this morning. Consider yourself dismissed.